You're about to enter into a world where all those classic movie monsters are still alive. A time when scary movies were fun for the whole family. And a place where the only colors you'll find are black, white, and shades of gray. Welcome to the Mimiverse. Oh, she's the cat's meow. What if she stole the pet?
Hello and welcome to the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast. My name is Mark Hader. Most of you guys know me as Hader. Before I start introducing anybody else, I have a little story I want to share, and it's going to be about 3 minutes long.
Oh, geez.
We are exactly 4 years and 6 days after we released our very first podcast show. May 15, 2011, which sadly enough was the last time we actually turned one in on time. If you would have told me 4 years and 6 days ago that we would be sitting here in my backyard with a bunch of people who were complete strangers to me at that time, I didn't even know of these people's existence, I would have said, you're crazy. I would have honestly said that. But here we are, 4 years and 6 days later, with people who I'm calling my friends. These are people that were strangers to me. Didn't even know they existed. And now here we are. So that's how life works, guys. You got to stop and take a look around and realize what you have and what you've got.
And say hey to people next to you.
And say hey. We're missing some of that. And Chris has given me the... got time to wrap this up. So now, back to the guy who throws out the bad jokes. All right, next to me is one of our co-hosts, my lovely future wife someday. You know her as Cherie Gallinati if you read credits, but she also goes by the name Ruby.
Hi, guys.
The man who just yesterday, that's how we're going to get around the whole date thing, Chris. Just yesterday.
May 21st?
Yeah, that day.
2015?
Yeah.
That is today?
That's today. Who just released his 10th film onto the world. Danny Johnson saves the world, ladies and gentlemen. Danny Johnson saves the world. His name is Christopher R. Mim.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
I also want to...
Really tired.
Welcome back to the show, Vanna Wife. We're glad to have her back. You know her as Stephanie Mim. You know her, you love her. Okay, or you don't, whatever. We're getting no response here. So, babe, why don't you go ahead and...
Hi.
Hello.
There you go. Thank you, Steph. Actually, she's not doing her Vanna wife duties tonight, so we'll just call her Steph.
All right.
There you go. Babe, why don't you do the introductions, starting with our two friends from Ohio that we have met before.
Well, I can do it in any order I want.
All right, do whatever you want.
So we put out the call for anyone who wanted to come by at the Think Before the Thing, and I'm not sure that we mentioned it yesterday, but that's okay, because we got a big old crowd. So... acting as fire tender tonight, the lovely and talented Tim Fox.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Fox. Going for that frequent fire tender award.
There you go. We're inventing it just for Tim. Also joining us are Jim Norgard and his lovely wife, Linda.
Howdy.
You know them, you love them.
Linda still never says anything on the show, by the way. It's hilarious. She's here. We're going to give her
pictures.
We're going to give her the Steph Mim here. Award. She just waves at the mic. Which Steph just did right now.
I'm going to give honorable mention to the treats. Thank you to our friends from Columbus and also Sid and Anthony, who had a viewing of the House of Ghosts today.
To
entertain our out-of-towners, and thank you to them for hosting that. Also in attendance, the elusive Mr. Peter K. Flynn.
Elusive. You make it sound like...
he won't say anything on mic. Yeah. He'll send us a text with some questions.
Long-time listener,
and
first-time
awesome.
Attendee.
Yeah. Yes. We're so excited to have you here.
So am I.
And then the largest attending group, they all carpooled from Columbus, Ohio.
Ohio represent!
Ohio represent. We will be visiting them in July. July 11th. So please, everyone, if you're in the area and if you aren't in the area and want something fun to do, Midnight Movies with Dr. Bob. So in attendance is Mr. Bob Gilbert.
Hello.
Miss Melanie Gilbert.
Hello.
And then they brought at least two with them.
Yes.
Was it just two or was it more than I missed it?
Just two. We were going to have a third, but unfortunately, work was kind of a dick to him, so...
That's awful.
Yeah.
Well, we're missing on him, but please introduce the rest of the Columbus crew.
Yes. Well, along with my lovely wife, Mel, we have Sirik, who is my prop builder and set designer and basically responsible for the last two seasons of the show looking a lot better than a drum kit draped in, you know, holiday lights.
Well done.
Meow, meow.
Nice.
And his daughter, Aelia.
Yo.
Who also helps out with the show. It's, you know, with those two and my wife and myself and Richard, we kind of form Voltron.
Awesome. Who's the head?
Yeah. Well, obviously,
you're the head.
I am.
Okay, and you'll form the head.
Yes.
Very good.
Tell me you're the Voltron, the Five Lions, because the 40 cars one,
cars
that one sucks.
Yeah, no, no. We figured out it's I am, you know, the center, the black lion. Sirik is the right arm and Aelia is the left arm. And Mel and Richard are the legs because they do a lot of the legwork running down fans.
But which one of you is Sven, the guy who dies?
Spoilers.
All right, you know, Voltron's been around for how many years? Come on, I think there's a you know, there's an expiration date on spoilers when it comes to about 25 years, maybe.
Yeah. Man, next thing you know, you're going to tell me the first doctor died.
Oh!
What?
I'm not spoiling that.
I would like to say I think it's interesting that after a couple of years of doing your show, you found someone who is interested and made it better, more fun, more interesting, looking better for you. It's a mirror story over here.
You said we made the Mimiverse better. I disagree. I think we made it worse. I mean, seriously, General Castle? God, that guy sucks.
We brought the trouble.
Damn, black helicopters are swirling around again.
It's the general.
Okay, who did what?
Well,
it wasn't me. You can't prove anything.
I actually do subscribe to something that Mem does, which is, you know, if you find someone who does something better than you, then you get them to do it for you.
And, that's right.
That way you don't have to half-ass it anymore. And you can have someone else do it for you.
So you have indentured servants just like Chris does.
Yep.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Minions.
Yes, I have minions.
Minions,
yes.
There you go.
People who do it for the love.
Yes. If I can find someone who does video editing better than myself, I would gladly turn over duties to them.
And Columbus just, friends, please, tune in.
Yeah, then I can just focus on writing jokes.
Oh, God, ooh. No.
Nice. So this film for me, this Danny Johnson Saves the World, it was actually felt very reminiscent. And I think you would agree with this. Before we started helping, we had not seen the entire film prior to seeing it at the premiere.
What right. What you mean, you worded that a little strangely. You're saying that
we had,
for one of the first times ever.
Since we started helping.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Since we became in the middle of the Mimiverse.
Indentured servants.
Indentured servitude. We had
minion.
We had generally seen the movie before the premiere, is what
in
he's
its entirety,
saying.
Yes.
In its entirety, right.
And this is the first time since we've started helping out, actively helping out with production, that we did not see the entire film.
Indeed. That is true.
So
you will hear that we did not commentary track even. We did nothing.
It was this was very much a Mim family film. And it turned out fantastic.
Yeah,
I had only seen about three quarters of the film before the premiere. I did not see the actual very beginning, and you had not edited that all together completely yet.
Well, none of the wraparound scenes or the bookends or anything.
Yeah. And then the absolute ending I hadn't seen either. So I only saw the
middle.
I don't
think you've still seen the absolute ending.
Who has?
No, I came back in after I peed.
Oh, okay.
I saw it. I'm not sure that you saw it.
I saw it.
Oh, okay.
I had to visit the restroom while I knew where I was in the film, and I came back to a part where I was unaware. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. So everybody did a fantastic job, the whole Mim family, everybody.
All the new folks.
Apparently there's a lot of air traffic here tonight, so I apologize for that.
We're outside, ladies and gentlemen.
Tim's doing a great job with the fire tending.
As you can
as
hear.
As always, going for that award, like I said before. So let's throw this to Bob Gilbert and his lovely bride, Melanie, who I apparently humped earlier, but I don't remember this.
We have pictures.
Skinny bread.
What did you guys think?
So good.
It was great. It was better than last year's, definitely. by far.
You didn't have to say definitely.
Or by far.
That's just very sensitive about.
It's just because Ruby was in that
one. So much better. No. I'm just teasing. No, it's they're all very good. I mean, you're just really splitting hairs when we do rank them. It's only because we've seen them so many times. It's like, okay, let's split the hairs and see which one is on there.
You have to rank them. We do that too. We'll do it off air.
Yeah.
No. They have to do it on air.
What? Yeah. Why don't you get to start ranking them? I mean, I've seen these more than I've seen Star Wars now. I'm allowed to rank them. And
yeah. Now,
go crazy.
And after all, we did win the Mimiverse Trivia Contest.
Yeah, right? Yes. Team Tesla.
It was rigged.
But you think it would be rigged in the favor of the guy who's been in several of the movies, but I guess not.
We came out strong in the beginning, Team Hater. I just got to throw that out there. You'll hear it in the other part of this podcast.
Strong and then tripped.
And then fell. Right on our face.
Kick your ass, dude. Yeah.
Easy there.
Just kind of crawled at a consistent pace.
We won.
There's no shame in any of it.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Space Jam.
P.S. Michael Kaiser's never allowed to come up with questions again.
Okay.
So.
Oh, I thought it'd be raspberries.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Bob.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The movie was very enjoyable. The kids all did a great job. And the puppets were interesting.
So
they were very cute. And hey, who knew Michael Kaiser was going to be so good? You know, he did such a great job. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and of course, Norman Yean's stop motion was out of the park. So.
Yeah, Mitch, you don't stand a chance next year.
Oh.
And that gatekeeper computer was just awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah.
We built that.
Lines he did.
We built that.
Huh?
We built that.
The monolith.
Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah. Yes.
Or as I call it, the giant iPhone.
It's his force perspective iPhone, right?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is. Well, and when we were vamping at the end, I was like, okay, I should ask, who has to explain Atari to their kids now? Because it is. It's a dragon and a snake and a scorpion and it's a freaking box, you guys. Elliot was so funny during that scene, just trying to get him to like slow down. Chris was like, no, hold on. Okay, dude, like the most boring game you've ever seen. No, even slower than that. No. And I'm like, let's just take him over to our house. We'll hook up the Atari. We'll put in Pong.
Oh, boy.
And adventure. And then he'll understand.
You know, it's funny. I got to tell a story about the kids, since everyone now knows our children through the film, if hopefully they've seen it.
Buy it at St.E4U.com.
They're all, you know, video game addicts, as all kids these days are. And yet,
Rockstar,
the game that they've been most competitive on in the last... I don't know, month, is I downloaded Pac-Man.
Sweet.
Ms. Pac-Man, and they sit around and try to outdo each other in Ms. Pac-Man. They get mad at each other. Of all the games out there, that's the one they want to play the most.
Did they play when it was on Google?
No, it was on something else.
Because they
had the... Yeah, I saw you in like,
the Google.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Defend your house. Come on, kids.
Nice.
Hey, have you seen that beer commercial?
Yes.
Where the
that
guy
was awesome.
Gets to play it for real, running around the maze, and you have the ghost chasing him.
Oh,
they're on roller skates. If you look at them, the people dressed up as ghosts are on roller skates and they're sliding around.
Oh,
when
my.
We saw that commercial, you know, Mel's just looking at me. She goes, "You want to play, don't you?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Apparently, you can play. In New York, they've got teams. And they'll play on city streets.
Oh.
Scary.
There you go. Peter K. Flynn. How are you?
Doing really well, thank you.
He was kind of like, I'm James Lipton, and this is inside the Actor's Studio. What'd you think?
Oh, it was...
Not to put you on the spot. If you didn't like it, feel free to tell me. It's okay.
It was actually spellbinding.
Spellbinding.
Yes,
I
did not know... which way you're going to go with each of the different rather diverse elements.
That's good to hear.
The opening, which almost brought it brought a tear to my eye, a bit like It's a Wonderful Life with aluminum Christmas trees brings back long surprise memories. And then the puppets and kids, and then it's like, how do you mix that together to make it work? And I really didn't know until the very end how that was all going to go and what your mad idea really was.
I'm happy with how it turned out. I am.
Should be proud. Just be happy.
Well, it's what is Cryptosis always makes me say. It's an excellent film. I always feel weird telling people that. Buy my excellent films. I'm egotistical enough. Come on.
And party on, dude.
Well, this movie was the
Remember
first
our guys,
one.
No spoilers.
Oh, come on.
Buy it on SaintEuphoria.com. So this was the first film where we had stood outside before, and everyone... We've talked about this before. Usually Chris's films, you say, ah, it's got a giant spider. I know what kind of film it is. Oh, it's in space. I know what kind of film it is. Oh, it's whatever. I know what kind of film it is. This was the first one I remember where people were standing outside going, I have no idea what to expect.
Exactly.
And basically just, I just trust that this is going to be a good movie. It's going to be a fun movie. We're going to have a good time. I have no idea what to expect, but, you know,
well, there's
but
no,
I'm here.
There's no basis of comparison for this particular film because there was never any Muppet movies made in the 50s.
That we know of.
That we know of, right.
Which could be uncovered soon.
Right. So that was the thing about it. It was like, well, it's a puppet movie. It's a kid movie. And they didn't make a lot of kid movies either back then that were straight up kid movies. Not at least in the sort of sci-fi monster arena.
Right. When they tried, it ended up being like...
The Invisible Boy, which is...
Well, or the Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Or just Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Which, right, which none of these are kid movies. I'm sorry, Santa Claus concerts.
Yeah, that was the 60s. That was a 65 or something. It was a TV movie on top of that.
There was also a 1960 Santa Claus made in City.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're both better than Santa Claus the movie.
Yes.
Hey!
Those are the 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T.
That's a great movie.
That
but again,
very disturbing.
Late 60s, early 70s.
That's as close as I could come up with, I guess, of older... And there was some of that played into it, actually, with some of the set design of making it very sparse.
Yeah.
On purpose. To, I don't know, hint at that a touch.
We also know what Elliot's going to look like when he grows up. He's going to look like...
Jim Norgard, apparently.
Yeah. Jim, what'd you...
Nice.
What'd you think, Jim?
Well, I absolutely loved the film.
Hey, Jim, not to interrupt, I just got to ask, I don't remember, did I give you the entire script before or just your parts?
No, you did give me the entire script before, but I deliberately did not read the other parts.
Oh, okay, because I think you were one of only, like, you and Elliot were the ones who had the entire script.
Well, but, and did you see it before opening night?
For a change, I did not.
Okay.
Which I'm glad. I'm glad I went back to seeing it for the first time just at the premiere.
That's what I was talking about before. It was just like, it felt
magic,
nice. Yeah.
You know, the expectation. And I was a little nervous because this was a departure from Dr. Gabriel, my grandpa. I like Dr. Gabriel. He's been my bread and butter, but... You know, nice to have a stretch and, take a little bit of a risk. I didn't know if I was going to be able to sell Grandpa or not.
Well, you can tell a mean story, so that's all that matters.
I think people love Grandpa.
But I did try to channel some of my memories of my grandfather and my great uncles. They were all wonderful storytellers and complete bullshitters.
Nice.
There was no bullshit.
I come from a long family of storytellers, so I just tried to channel my memories into that and do the best job I could. And
you did a very good job.
Well, thank you very much.
And of course, the only thing that was completely and utterly inaccurate, if you pay attention, and it's a little continuity error that we couldn't fix because we chose the actors and then we're like, oh crap, is that Jim has blue eyes. Young Jim, a.k.a. Elliot, has brown eyes. Same thing with young Cassie Elliot has blue eyes, played by Gabby. But older Cassie Elliot, played by Steph, has brown eyes. So apparently in the future, you can just change your eyes real quick. Yeah.
Time machine.
Well, it's called contact lenses. You
know? It was the time machine. Yeah, someone screwed up something.
It's a future storyline where they get into like a clonomat kind of thing and get switched in bodies.
There you go.
There you go. Back, their eyes don't change.
Their eyes
Yep.
I'm going to make a comment, though. When I was actually for once not sitting with my dad at the theater, and I was sitting with Brent,
Brent Hilgard, yes. And, who was in The Giant Spider.
And Shannon McDonough.
Who everyone should know.
Yeah, by this point. And when the first moment that Jim was on screen, we all kind of looked at each other like, is that Jim? I don't think I've ever seen him clean shaven before. It's kind of terrifying. I'm like, yeah. I'm not going to look at him for the rest of the movie because he just doesn't look like Jim.
The thing is, my wife, my coworkers at my day job, it's like everybody's terrified at me without a beard.
I remember when we asked you if you would shave it off, or I said, I want you to shave it off, and you're like,
Anything else.
Is there any way? No. And I was like, nope.
You want to be one-armed? I'll amputate an arm.
Don't take my power.
You should have told us you need to play Santa Claus and you need a bigger white beard.
There you go.
In the chair.
Well, the thing is, if you take a look at me, on the flick, you'll see the reason why I wear a beard in real life. A beard covers a lot of sins and a lot of chins.
He scared the cat.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, Linda Norgard.
To the house after I shaved. The cats looked at me and ran right into the basement. Who is this guy?
They said, dear God, no, and ran away. Yeah. Well, it happened to me, too, when Jim showed up and I was setting up lights. And, you know, I heard him come in. I'm like, hey, Jim. And I kept setting up lights. And I went back to my bag to go get a dimmer. And I turned and I looked at him and I was like, whoa. I did the classic spit double take. It was entertaining.
I think we kind of felt it was like, okay, Dr. Gabriel has a beard, right? Except when he's young, he has a mustache.
Yeah. Right.
Arthur had the goatee.
The goatee.
So it's like, what do we have left to make sure he doesn't look like the other characters? It's like, well, then shave it off because, you know, I don't know.
Then you're a different
Johnson,
guy.
You know.
I still would have preferred to lose an arm or something.
Nice.
Well, just, don't worry. It's only preserved for all time now.
You do what it takes. Take it for the team.
So let's ask our newest members of our tribe, our little clan of the Mimiverse. Now, Bob and Mel had actually, this was their second premiere that they had been to, but you guys, this was your first.
Yeah.
So, and your experience with the Mim films has been running, helping Dr. Bob Tesla, who we love him to death, is just through watching them on the screen in the theaters in Columbus, Ohio. So now you've got a chance to see a premiere, the thing that Chris lives for every year, and I can't blame him because they are really addicting. What were your thoughts on the whole premiere, the whole thing, the pre-party, the everything?
Well,
and your lovely daughter is allowed to speak too.
I'm a little antisocial, so I can't exactly really comment on the pre-party and everything else because I stood there and I just kind of look at everybody, and you know, just answering this question is like really forcing me to come out of the shell I like hide in. So
I'm sorry.
You may need the fire to stick, stop firing.
or do you have any alcohol?
No. But I'm gonna
maybe.
I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Bob last night when we left the theater. It was not what I expected. When Bob showed me the trailer, I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm like, okay, I've got a general idea of what's going on by the trailer. But when in the beginning, when the element of Grandpa got in, that's not in the trailer. I'm like, okay. So I just sat there and I just kept watching. And then how it progressed and how it jumped and everything else gave it a really nice spin. Something I honestly wasn't expecting. So I sat there, and I was enjoying the film, and then after about, I don't know, give or take 15, 20 minutes of wrapping my head around everything, then I started going, okay, I know how they built that. Okay, I know how they built that. Yep. Oh, I recognize that item. Oh, I know what that is. Nice. And started dissecting the sets. But
I
did like the Gladware containers on the,
yeah.
On the wall.
The one thing that I
sensor pods.
But yeah, I mean, it was interesting how it wasn't what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And that was cool about it. So I sat there, I was like, all right, and it just everything flowed. It had a nice pacing to it, and like I told Bob and Mel, I was like, it was good. It was something I was walking into thinking one thing, and it was something totally different, and that made it a lot more enjoyable.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think we purposely played down the whole Christmas movie angle a little bit on purpose. Because I didn't want to... I don't know, I think when you think Christmas movie, I think that people instantly are like, oh, well, why would I want to see a Christmas movie in May?
Every time an angel gets its wings, a bell rings or whatever the hell.
The other way around, but close.
Yeah. Every time a bell rings.
Bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Yeah.
Well, and two, with the trailer, you know, you're cutting trailers, it's always interesting because you have 60 seconds to sell a movie. So it's like, for me, I don't have any name actors in my movies, so I can't just show Brad Pitt's pretty face and be like, that's why you should see this movie.
Come see this movie. Curveball!
Yeah, so it's like, well, here's a dinosaur, and look, here's a puppet, and a robot.
You know when Shannon McDonough listens to this podcast, she's going to cry. She's like, I'm a name actress!
Well...
What?
Not in this movie.
I can't hear you. You're not on a mic, Tim.
Yeah, you know Shannon doesn't listen to this.
Here you go.
I yelled out Shannon McDonough.
If she's not on the show, she doesn't listen.
She doesn't listen.
And even if she is on the show, I seriously doubt she listens.
That's a good point. So anyway.
She doesn't listen.
When you're talking about the premiere experience as a whole, and I can remember the first one that I attended for Attack of the Moon Zombies.
The one where you came up to me afterwards.
I came up to you after Destination
Outer Space,
my headshot and my resume, and I said, I know where you live, and I want to be in your movies.
No.
Stalker!
I know where you live. Put me in one of these movies.
Yeah, exactly. But what impressed me, and I think what it would not be the same experience anywhere else, props should go out to the Heights Theater at Columbia Heights.
Letness, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
For people who are not familiar with it, it's this beautiful, restored to its 1927 silent film glamour. They show your normal blockbusters on occasions, but also a lot of art films and classic movies and things like that. So, if you're listening and you live in the Twin Cities area, if you haven't attended a film at the Heights, it's the complete experience.
They have real popcorn with real butter.
Real popcorn, yeah. Real butter, and it's so anti-megaplex. It's absolutely wonderful.
Single screen, which is unheard of these days.
Yeah.
The only funny thing about the Heights is, we have made a point to always do the premiere at the Heights since the very beginning, partially because it's not that far from my house, and it just worked out real nice. One of the things, though, is that when I went down there the first time to talk to the owner about doing the Monster of Phantom Lake, he was surprised that anyone would want to rent his theater for a local opening.
Yeah, nobody rents that
because
theater.
Nobody did at the time. They always went to the Riverview, which is in Minneapolis, and it's much more in Minneapolis proper, whereas this is in the north suburbs. And so he was kind of like, okay. So he gave me this really, really sweet deal that he has honored year after year, and I won't tell people what it is because he won't give it to anyone else simply because I've been coming back year after year, and he knows that, you know, we do really well. And seeing a movie at the Heights, especially the premieres, is very much a part of the experience and has been since the beginning. Because the ambiance of it is absolutely perfect for the kind of movie we do.
Exactly.
Yeah, it definitely fits. Because when I first walked into it, I'll be honest, I've never seen a theater like it.
No, it's
we've
so
got,
beautiful.
We have a couple one-screen theaters in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
And just... But when we walked in there, I was even bragging when I took my daughter, and I'm like, look, they have the organ down here. They have this. They have that. And I'm like, and with the... with the films that you make, it actually fits.
Right.
I mean, there's a really good fit there for the type of movie it is, and then the way the theater is and all this other stuff. It was a really good experience seeing
it. It has that.
That
old Hollywood feel that you want. I think the Heights is the longest continuously running theater in all of Minnesota. So there's a nice history there that makes sense for the retro stuff, you know? And... yeah, I've seen a couple other premieres there, but they do sort of the indie premiere thing that we always kind of make fun of, which is, hey, how's it going? We have a spoken word artist. And
Then we'll do a Q&A after.
And we're now going to cleanse the spirit of the theater.
We're
going to
burn sage, and then I have my buddy who plays acoustic guitar in a coffee shop, which is fine, but seriously not at a movie premiere.
And then they show the movie.
Yeah.
They do a Q&A. And that's the end
of
it.
And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't even have DVDs or anything to sell.
Often they don't. I don't think I've actually been to a premiere that does.
We've been to a couple
go
that
sell
did.
The cans.
Yeah, they're going to Sundance.
Yeah, we have we're trying to get distribution so we can't sell anything.
Did Bob tell you what to expect at this? Or not really.
Vaguely. Vaguely. I was just walking in kind of blind. I was going to wait and see what happened.
Okay.
I do admit the atmosphere was really cool because after the movie, well, even before the movie, everyone was standing around, they were talking. And then after the movie, it was like everybody got more compressed. Because they were discussing the movie. They were, you know, reminiscing. They were going around, hi, how have you been, and everything else. And you didn't have a lot of people immediately leaving.
No.
No.
And that in itself was impressive because I am used to seeing movies where everyone doesn't stick around. You know, it's not it doesn't seem like, in essence, a group function. And everybody just immediately disperses. So that was interesting to see that as well. Everybody talking and, you know, seeing what else they can either win or buy or whatever, and asking questions. So it was a good experience.
Very cool.
I think that's part of the sort of community that we've always kind of tried to foster around these things.
Yeah, you started it.
Well, just because it's always sort of had that community theater feel to it, you know?
The theater itself you're seeing?
Well, no, just the Mimiverse and the movies, and just like use a lot of the same people, so it almost becomes like a theater troupe.
It's almost like a family reunion
every
year.
Yeah, so you have people, especially when you do it for 10 years, I mean, it's like 10 movies. Every year, I get people that'll come up and be like, we come back every year because it's like our tradition. We can't wait for the new one. And I'm recognizing some of those people. And we had people at the night before the thing this time, the Perkins gang, who they've just been coming since the beginning. Like, they checked out the Monster Phantom Lake on a whim, and they've come almost every year since. They
missed like one or two or something.
Yeah, like, oh, I missed this one or I missed that one. But we have these people who will come back year after year, and I think that's what it almost becomes, like a reunion. It's like, hey, how you been? I haven't seen you all year. Well,
Peter, would you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely.
Peter's freezing. He's from San Diego.
Absolutely.
We should take a picture of Peter.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to move close to the file?
No, I'm fine. I'm overplaying my reaction here.
I'm acting.
Impressed with people actually reading the credits, not just the people whose names were in the credits, too. That was a refreshing experience.
I gotta ask you, Peter, since you're close to your mic right now. You've been a long-time listener and sort of participant on this podcast.
Thank you,
right?
For always the questions.
Is it surreal to be sitting in this backyard?
The very romantic backyard.
With the fire going, after having listened to it for years, is it weird to be sort of sitting here?
It is extremely surreal to the point where it doesn't even seem to be connected with what I think I'm doing right now. I'm actually having flashbacks to a trip I took in 1979 to Connecticut, where that's where I think I am right now. I don't know why. I guess because everything's so darn green.
I was going to say, is it 79, so are we talking sandwiches kind of a trip?
Does he know the code word?
Yes, I do. Okay. In many ways. No, it's more of a heavy drinking era that I think I remember.
I had
photographs. I always carried a camera.
Actually, what it is, it's not that you're flashing back necessarily. The memories are just flooding back finally.
Yes. Like, finally being returned.
Oh, no.
Well, we feel the same way. I mean, you've heard us talk about it before. Sometimes you meet people and you've had semi-constant interactions and it's sort of like, oh, of course, he's just our friend, you know. It's like you never weren't here, and it's like you won't ever have left. So we're so glad you're here.
Yeah, everyone looks familiar now, like I've seen you for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It was very odd to recognize a voice and see the face, and even though I've seen photographs, it's a little different, and that was extremely almost disturbing.
Yeah, when you came up to me at the thing before the thing.
And then it all came into place.
Yeah, at the thing before the thing, you were like, Ruby. And I turned around and looked, and I'm like, hi. And you were like, Peter Flynn. I'm like, of course you're Peter Flynn.
Well, at least Chris and I met Peter Flynn before.
Yeah. Yes. I got to give a special nod to Tim, because Tim kicked ass at the night before the premiere, helped serve food, helped us set everything up, and then dutifully helped at the door last night at the premiere. So just generally
Kira,
kicked ass.
Saying looked, thank you to Kira.
And looked good doing it.
Paddle girl in arms.
One of the many services I provide.
Oh,
yes,
my.
One of the many. And you're a minion. How's it feel?
Master minion.
Master.
I was standing by the box office, and I know we have at least one new fan. This older guy, probably 10, 15 years older than I am, comes up by himself, and he thought he was going to see Woman in Gold.
Oh!
And Tim and Kira politely explained to him that, well, not tonight. You know, it's a special screening of the Stanley Johnson Saves the World, and his attitude was, sure, what the heck?
Yay!
The exact words were, hey, dude, turn me on. I'll eat some popcorn. I'll see whatever's in front of my eyes. See what happens.
I do want to mention to Chris, because now that everybody around this bonfire has been to now a premiere, premiere nights for Chris are very interesting because he's not necessarily completely with it because he's so focused on everything else. But one of the things that...
That's why the decompressing session is nice.
That's why.
Because now he can actually sit and breathe.
Exactly.
Well, because to everyone else, and this is kind of... We've been talking about this, Steph and I have, is that, you know, everyone else, to me, that's like the big show. I'm performing. It's like everything I've been doing for a year leads up to this big moment. So to me, it's like, I'm not saying it's work in a bad sense, but I'm working.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm there to work.
Well, and you didn't
see... To entertain you, the masses.
You didn't see any of the out-of-towners on Tuesday.
Right,
you didn't see any of the
out-of-towners
on Wednesday.
Like, yeah. Crazy and doing all the stuff. So
but
after
today
it's
you
over,
can hang
you know,
out.
It's like running into a brick wall.
So the story I want to tell is... at first, when Chris, when Ruby and I started going to these films, we didn't really know anybody. Tim, don't go catch
Tim's
on fire.
A flame.
Why don't you stand on this side? Yo,
as things are going now that you've hit 10.
Stand up win.
Now that you've hit 10 films, other filmmakers are starting to come. And so I've talked to these people last night at the premiere. And they look at me and they look at Rue and they go, you guys really know how to throw a party. And these are other people, other filmmakers, and now I don't know if they're as successful as you. I'm not completely familiar with all their work. But they're like, you guys really throw a party. And I'm like, I just help. I can't take any credit for this, you know?
Well, from the very beginning, we've always said that. It was like, we wanted to celebrate the fact that we made a movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying
it's
other
sort of
filmmakers don't, but... They're always such somber affairs, and it's about the art and all this stuff. The art. I'm just there to have fun.
Yeah.
I want to show you my goofy movie and have a good time.
So you got a lot of compliments on the, not necessarily just the movie, but the entire presentation, the whole having it at the Heights, having all the actors there, having stuff before and after. I mean, we got to give a little shout out to Sid and Anthony. I mean, they hosted all the out-of-towners today at the House of Goats, and they brought us over food to share around the bonfire. So thank you, Sid and Anthony.
Thank you.
But you know, you are providing this great big package
extra
for people.
Value.
And,
extra
you know, there's value. So many people that that enjoy that, and they're so impressed by that, and I think they're starting to take notes.
Well, I hope people...
So we got to step up our game next time.
I was going to say, I hope that all those folks who've never been able to come to a premiere, hear this, and they think, God, I really want to go to one, and then realize that there will be no more. I am formally announcing my retirement.
You are? You
just
liar.
Just kidding.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
Although, I'll tell you.
I know, it's like, unless I'm actually dead, and even then I'll be like, he's lying.
Yeah.
Well, he's not dead. He's working on a movie in secret.
Yeah.
He's Andy Kaufman-ing it.
Right.
He's thinking about it really hard. He just wants to rest his eyes for a moment.
He's just being dramatic. Leave him alone.
I'll tell you, though, Chris.
That's right. He's probably just hungry.
We did take random polls, though, and we asked people, does it have to be May? Does it have to be every year? Does it have to be a movie? Oh, you. You.
Does it have to be a movie?
Well, no, I did. I asked them those questions, and they're like, no, if it was really big, like, I'd wait 2 years. Or, like, it gets kind of busy at Christmas. But, you know, if it was late in the summer, like right before school starts, that might not be awful.
Chris,
I mean,
can come to you. Don't go to them.
There you go.
They can come to May.
That's right. It's May, damn it. You come to me.
Well, but we're taking 1 year off, so.
No, because you're having the on-premiere next May, isn't that right?
The unpremiere?
The unpremiere? What is that?
It'll be very cool. I don't know what, but it will be very cool.
We're just going to show the Monster Phantom like in Esperanto.
That sounds cool. Well, we did a sing-along the second year.
I'll get it made in Esperanto, damn it.
There was the sing-along the second year. That was really
fun. No, we're going to remake the Monster Phantom like with puppets.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I keep waiting for you to have the movies dubbed in Klingon.
Hey, find me a Klingon and some speakers.
I know some people.
We
know
they have Klingon language.
Make it happen.
In Minnesota.
I'm not paying them.
How about the Memiverse Film Festival?
You know, I've tried doing Dr. Bob has done a marathon before.
Yes.
I think we did that.
Seven movies.
Yeah. Yeah. We did one in Eau Claire in 2010.
Hi, Kitty.
Mark knows what we're talking about. Is that I had posted a picture when I got the Danny Johnson collector's tickets.
Yes.
I took a picture of all the ones I have because I obviously have one for every single one. And I posted on Facebook and put, like, how many do you have? And everyone's like, I have a lot of those, but what is that one in the middle? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the one from the Eau Claire marathon we did in 2010. And then Mark, like, I don't know who said it. It was me.
I was like, what was that? What's that one in the middle? I don't recognize it. And I was on my cell phone, and it can only zoom in so far, and I still couldn't read it out legibly. So Paul Hansen, contributor extraordinaire.
Party Paul Hansen.
He was on his home computer, and he was able to zoom in, and he told me. And then Chris said something hilarious. He's like, it's the hardest Pokemon to catch.
Yeah.
It was
hilarious. And then you, like, Paul,
I didn't even know that
posted
happened.
A picture of theirs, and then Mark posted one, and it's like his are all, like, mounted and framed and stuff.
I
was like, yeah, I think Mark just dropped the mic right there.
Yep. I don't know, but I don't know if I beat Mitch Obrecht in the Superfan, because clearly I didn't know a lot of those
questions.
Well,
Mitch Obrecht has all the number ones.
Because Mitch Obrecht is number one.
Also, Chris has all the 69s.
All the number ones. I have all the 69s.
As Brent Hilgard.
I had to point out.
But
where's Brent?
At least someone noticed. I was waiting for someone to say something.
I called many of the 42s.
Did you get 42 this year?
I got 42. Mark did not get 13, but that's okay. Oh.
That's fine. I don't care.
I just like
having a ticket.
RJ Lundgren, RJ, who plays Red, 13. Got 13. He no, did. Actually, David got 13. David Mim.
That's fine.
The little kid with the hat.
I just like having the ticket. I mean, 13 is just a bonus. I'm not that anal about it. I mean, I love Jason Voorhees. Let's get serious here for a second. Oh, speaking of Jason Voorhees, I'm sorry. Quick side note. We got a question in from the podcast listener. His name is Scott Heitkam.
It's Heitkam or
Heitkam, yeah.
H-E-I-T, so that'd be German Height.
Heitkam.
We apologize because we had just finished editing when it came in.
And we're not going to be able to get to it this month. So, Scott.
It's on the list.
Going to answer it next month. I guarantee it. So please keep listening. Just wanted to acknowledge the fact that we did indeed get a lot of questions, but I liked his specifically, and it just doesn't fit the format of this show. So I promise you I will answer it next month, Scott.
He's giving Mr. Flynn a run for his money.
Yes.
Look out.
So, you got a lot of positive feedback from other filmmakers as the close to my story, that people were really just impressed, again, by the whole package. All the actors having such a party atmosphere, but not being ridiculous party, like, let's get drunk.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very cool atmosphere.
Because Shervin left, so.
Well, yeah. I loved his grandpa sweater, by the way. It was hilarious. He came directly from work.
Shervin doesn't listen to this podcast either, so feel free to throw him under that bus.
But it was so cool to see all the other actors, too. I mean, Doug Sidney showed up.
That was nice to see Doug.
And
who are all the actors that we noticed?
Catherine Hansen was there.
Rachel Grubb.
Shannon McDonough.
Dan Shervin. Doug Sidney.
Sidney.
Mike Cook was there.
Yep. And his lovely wife. Hi, Nance.
No, of course. I believe, like I said, this was the first time every single actor in the movie in the theater. That was the first time ever we've done that.
Nice.
Because someone's always had to miss it for whatever reason.
I have to say, it's a little awkward whenever you ask, because every premiere he asks the one question, how many people here have been to all the premieres? And we always raise our hand, and we're serious because we actually have been, but it gets awkward now. Because people are like, yeah, you guys are freaking lying. No. And I'm like, no, we really have been. Sorry.
Well, that was just a joke. I was like, well, Mark Ruby and my family. All right. That's all that's left at this point.
Well, but I think it's more important the people who are fans who now go to all of them.
Yes.
Because they didn't have the chance to see the ones that were earlier. I mean,
well, and even some members of the family are
I've known
now,
you since
like,
the day I moved to Columbus. No. Well, whatever. They're lame. That's just Michael Bum Bum.
Well, we've been at all the Columbus premieres.
Yeah. You hosted all the Columbus premieres.
I've been to every single one that's shown in Columbus.
Very good.
We're going to talk about the Columbus, the Mimiverse trip to Columbus en masse in part two. We're not quite going to take a break yet, but I just wanted to say that we will get
to
some some pimping.
Good one.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a glorious night tonight. It's not a cloud in the sky, so it was
beauty.
A good night to have this.
Well, and I was happy.
Yeah, we
I
could
say,
be crammed into the
speaking of the
now.
Weather, I was really happy knowing that Peter Flynn was coming in from San Diego, that when he landed, it was like 42 degrees. There's a part of me that's like, yes, this is what he should be experiencing when he gets off that
welcome
plane.
Welcome to Minnesota.
And I thought you were all lying about it.
No, see, this is not exaggeration.
It was March.
The question I have for my lovely wife over here is, now that Peter's here, where do we put the music? Oh, I gotta say, I talked to Andy Wilkins, the person who created your intro music, your theme music.
Sound.
Yes, dang it, I'm sorry. She has agreed to do new one now in honor of your arrival to the podcast. So I have to remind myself
to.
I have Andy on the line to create a new one for just for you.
Very flattered.
So.
And the first one was far too accurate.
We had a really good time making that.
Yeah.
Mark was like, what do we do? I'm like, no, I got this. I'm like, search the YouTubes for this item. And then he was inspired and found the rest of it. So
I had to change my phone ring just not to be copying you guys.
Upwind.
Tim's almost on fire.
Over here to where the flames aren't.
Yeah.
That's a bad time
cool,
to say.
Leave me alone.
We want you to be cool. We don't want you to be that hot.
Yes.
Hey, I'm hot.
You are hot.
Tim's a frost giant.
She throws herself on the fire in part two.
Katy Perry song. Now, I wanted to let you guys know the... since Dr. Bob was working the line, you know, while people were waiting,
ow!
You know, we had, you know, there
stop
were a lot of people
yourself.
Who have been there before, and then there was one person, he had a whole group of people there with him, and it was strictly because it was his birthday, and his name was Danny Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Shut the front door!
Yeah. And I kicked myself for not, like, after the fact, for not saying, like, giving him a shout-out, because Dr. Bob came and told me about it, and I was like, oh, that's super cool! And then immediately
and then
forgot
it
about it.
Yeah.
But I should have said something.
Well, it's like we were saying before. I mean, the premiere nights, you're kind of like...
Yeah, I'm just
and that's
there.
Fine. You know, that's why...
That's what I mean. That's why I was telling Steph. It's like, I didn't see anybody that was there that bought tickets. I was like, did you see them? Did they show up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked
we
to them.
We saw them.
I didn't.
Well,
I don't know where I was.
But that goes again to why, you know, you have folks like Tim Fox and Kira Pontiff and myself and Rue, and we try to help out as much as we can. And Jim Norgard,
no.
who is being the bouncer of the evening, and very imposing one at that. I just got to say, I was kind of scared.
He roughed people up into to putting in silent auction bids. They were terrified people
get
who were
your
lurking.
Your bod over to that table, boy.
There you go.
Is that why we got beat on our bids?
Yeah. Well, I think I know one reason. He's sitting over by Jim.
Yeah.
So, well done,
I just
want to
say this right now. I think my pants and me are going to become one here at the end of the show.
Awesome.
Maybe
okay. We'll hose you down. We got a hose.
By Tim.
You know, we did see that the corner store sold dry ice.
I'm fine.
Yep.
I was considering doing another dry ice bomb.
These are really
good socks.
Was that the dry ice? The same place we got the dry ice for?
No, they didn't have any that night.
Yeah, they were out that day.
They were out that day.
That corner store freaks me out a little bit, though.
It's awesome. D&L's rock.
But we could have set off a nice dry ice bomb right in the middle of a fire pit. There would be no more fire pit.
Oh no,
there would be a short amount of time.
I'm sorry. What was that, Peter? One more time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chris, you get time compression during the event yesterday.
Yeah, where things just sort of fly by like it's not even there.
Yeah,
you're only retaining every third memory. So when it's all looking back on it, it's like, wow, that really flipped by really fast. Yeah.
It's like you were phasing in and out during the entire
thing.
Yeah.
And you know, watching the movie, I've seen it a million times already. I'm watching people watch the movie and wondering, just seeing the things they laugh at and wondering if, is this going to fall flat? Is this going to work? Why are they laughing at that? That kind of thing. And even just little things, because on this one, I tried some things that I've never done before, even narratively. And I was like, are they going to get it? Did it make sense?
Right. And was there enough time?
Right. Plus, too, you get people who laugh over lines, and it's like, crap, I don't know if they heard a good... They missed a joke because people were laughing about something else, but...
Well, but last year, people said they knew they were going to buy it, so they enjoyed the premiere, laughed their butts off, knew they missed half the lines, immediately went home and watched it again.
Well, and then,
so
too,
they could see everything.
And then, too, I wonder about those people who are new to this, and then they're watching this with people who've been around forever who are cheering at the flashlight thing, and they're like, why the hell are these people cheering about them turning on a flashlight? I don't get it. You know, so it's little things like that. They'll cheer for things that are just in jokes for the people who've been there for a long time. And I can only imagine, I had someone come up to me once and they're like, I liked it, but I didn't get what the hell, it wasn't this year, it was last year. Like, I liked it, but there were things in there, it's like, why are people cheering? It's like, oh, because it's a thing.
It's a running joke.
It's a trained audience. Buy all the movies and you'll understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Euphoria.com.
Speaking of running gags, I gotta give a massive, massive, massive shout out to Jim Norgard. Dear God No has become, it's a thing. So we're going to start hashtagging that, hashtag Dear God No. And all our listeners, please start that. Let's get this started. But I have to say that you actually started to, you kind of telegraphed when you were going to say it, except for this film. I got to say, you didn't, you just, blam, you just dropped it. Because sometimes you lead, your body language, you lead into it, like, oh, here, he's going to say it. And you get that little split second. And during the scene that Chris cut together of that, of you saying that line, I didn't expect it when it came, and I just lost it. I'm like, ah! Yes! And the people next to me were like, dude.
Too much.
What the hell? Wasn't that funny?
Well, that was deliberate.
Chris and I had talked about the script that we had to, in this particular version, work it in so it sounded more conversational than here comes the joke.
Yes.
Type of delivery, the whole thing came out of House of Ghosts, where, you know, that's where it originated, and it was just a particular scene in House of Ghosts where I decided, it was late, I was a little tired, I decided to go a little over the top with the delivery.
It worked!
Everybody stares at me for like a split second and then collapses laughing. And I thought, well, okay, Chris, you want to do this again? No,
do it like that. Leave that. That's good. Well, and then we threw it in the giant spider, and then it just, at that point, it was like, oh, now it's a thing. So we had to make sure it was in the wall people. And then I figured, you know, you do it three movies, you're going to do it again. It's like, you can't do the same thing. You can't do the same joke. So how do we throw it in there as a joke, but then the fact that he delivered it differently in a way you didn't expect, that was like, now it's funny again because it's not the same joke again.
And that's the thing. The original Dear God No, it was started by Arthur, but it's become a Dr. Gabriel thing.
Well, it's the Norgard thing, basically.
Yes. The dramatic delivery of it. So.
If you ever redo your Attack of the Moon Zombies, you need to loop that in.
That's right. Just throw it in there. The point when you get, spoilers, the point where Dr. Gabriel meets his maker, you should be like, Dear God No! Because you don't see your face when you fall down, so we could just loop that in there. Dear God, no. Yeah. So it's your final words.
So
okay,
the
what we gotta do when we show, we'll just loop that in.
No. Yes,
that's right. Just there, throw that in there. Mm-hmm.
So the question I have for Miss Steph, the young Miss Stephanie.
No. The young Miss Stephanie, where's she?
Instead of going for the list award this year, I'm going for the kiss ass award.
Go for it, babe.
I got two awards started for this year.
How did you feel watching your children now that they had much more expanded roles? What did you think? How do you feel about that? How did you think of their performance?
Hercules!
No, well, I've seen it a million times, too. Yeah. So I was worried. Chris and I both were kind of worried if, you know, people were going to be nice. You know, and thinking...
Because you're a protective mama.
It's kids! It's
you're a
kids.
Mama bear.
Yes, I'm a mama bear. So, and Elliot was really nervous, you know, if he could carry, you know, a good chunk of the movie.
Yeah, but Doug Sidney came up to me and Rue and said, I'm replaced. And we're looking at him like, what? He goes, Elliot's the new leading man of the Mimiverse.
I don't know if Elliot can do crazy quite right.
Yeah. No.
Elliot's a great straight.
But I looked at Doug Sidney, you know, and the first thing that popped into my head, and I didn't want to say it, and I didn't, and was like, wait, you're not the leading man.
Deuce, that's Dan Shervin. Everyone knows.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. But no, so
some adorable children.
Doug Sidney had just glowing reviews for both Gabby and for Elliot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he came up to me and also was talking a lot about Alice. So it was sweet of him to say that.
Alice literally stole every scene she was in.
When we first got some of those scenes put together, I think I turned to Steph and I was like, I think Alice is stealing this, just because she plays. Just kind of, there's a, I don't know, she plays snarky.
She does very
she's
well.
Little. She still comes across as, you know.
As the little sister.
Yeah, and even when she's, you know, when she names Steve, you know, and that whole scene is one of my favorites. Because it's just such a cute little kid moment of, I'm going to name him Steve. I'm going to keep him. Like, you can't keep him. I can keep him. I named him. He's mine. You know, it's just like, there's something about that whole scene I really like. And she's just got these little faces she makes. And it was just like, yep.
Well, and, you know. Obviously, they're siblings, so some of that stuff they didn't have to act.
Like, no, like not, the
scene,
clearly not.
Like the scene with the robot, too, where... am I spoiling too much?
No.
Watch the movie before listening to
the podcast. I consider spoilers only the ending, so don't give away the ending.
Okay, so, you know, they're hiding, you know, and then she turns to him and says, thank you, big brother. And it's just such a tender moment in the movie, and... You know, they're acting, but yet they're not because they're siblings. So it was kind of like they just really pulled it off. So
they did this thing that I didn't tell them to do, but they did it that I kept. And I think they only did it on that take was, you know, she says, you know, thanks for saving me, big brother. And he says, anytime, little sister, which is just cute. But then they did this thing where they like touched foreheads.
Yeah, they did the kind of little forehead bump
together.
Yeah.
And it was just so cute. It was like, that's a real moment. And so we saved it or kept
it.
Yeah,
because he didn't tell them to do that.
No, they just did it. And it was just like, aw.
Now, I have to ask on that scene. Was that Lord of the Rings?
Which, what?
Was it like Nazgul looking at the hobbits and...
I think it's like any movie that has someone hiding below. It's so funny. Michael Kaiser being Michael Kaiser. We shoot it the first time. Mm-hmm. And he comes and he's like, come here. I'm like, what? He's like, I can totally see them. I'm like, well, you can't see it in the camera, so shut up and do your job.
I can't fake this because I could see them.
I was like, but see, you see through the little hole. You know, the little mouth hole thing is where it was like a mesh thing that he could see through. I'm like, yeah, you can see through that, but the robot's eye is up there, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, Sirik was already looking at it and cataloging and if he wants to make it and make a robot costume himself.
That was one of the few costumes where Michael actually could see.
Yeah, he could wear that for a long time.
The mask's off and he can't see very well. So, but this one he could.
Oh,
he
I
could
know.
Well, as anyone who's ever worn them knows, they're ridiculous.
Tim knows.
Odd.
I know. Yeah.
And they're really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's just wine.
Well, no, it's more he can't see out of them because he can't wear his glasses in them. Yeah. And he can't see.
And there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room in that robot.
In the robot,
costume.
He could keep his glasses on.
So
he
for him, the thing that was actually bothering was there's like ropes
tied around his neck,
tied to keep it sort of on his shoulders, and they just start digging into his shoulders.
Can't we get Mitch some more money so we can get some Velcro straps or something?
Talk to
Mitch about that. Oh, well, never mind that.
Mitch Gonzalez made it.
We need to have Sirik and Mitch get together.
Plus, they did something where they wrapped the ropes actually
dangerous.
Around his head, like neck. Which I didn't
He
like.
Lived.
I did and not
do
like
a
that.
Junkyard, give him $50 and say, don't
but did I ever answer your question?
You did, actually. You did very well.
Fatted bra there.
Oh, you had
fatted bra.
I was very proud of that.
Very good. Let's do one more question, and this is kind of for all the people here that had not read the script and had not seen the film before last night. So
me.
No. So
we know Ruby
my question
to
the
I
never
to
in the movie we were in together.
Everyone else.
I never do.
When I read the script, because Chris also sent it to us as a nice little, you know, this is where I'm thinking for this film, so give
so
me
can
some
all start
get some ideas and some production
well,
ideas.
Well, yeah,
for
we
sets
started
and
talking about sets and lighting and just things we wanted.
When I read the script, it read interesting because I wasn't sure if you were going to be able to pull off if it was going to be too kid or too adult. You know what I mean? There's that fine line there because if you go too kid, you lose the adults. But if you go too adult, you lose all the kids. And I think you did a great job of straddling that line. So that's my opinion, and I want to find out everybody else's opinion. Do you think it was too kid-centric, too adult-centric, or was there a good balance there to keep the film moving forward?
It was a perfect balance.
There you go.
So says Tim.
I thought there was a good balance there. Because when you had when you see the younger Danny Johnson going through things and everything else, and then it's going back to Grandpa, that's where, you know, I'm seeing the adult side come in because of the way that, you know, Grandpa was portrayed. And then it goes back to the kids and everything else. So I was seeing a mixture of both right there. So it hit both really well.
You know, Sirik, you always tell, you know, you're very good at telling stories, and yet you claim to be a very big introvert. So I'm like, I'm confused. I'm like, you're a good storyteller.
We're just having a conversation.
We're on a bonfire.
But also, do you remember at the party?
Yes.
I didn't say a word.
No, you didn't. Yeah.
No, you.
Bob introduced us, and you said, "Hey, how you doing?" And that was
so
it.
Much to go get Peter.
See, right now,
I'm
kind of on the spot.
Yes,
yeah. And you're actually looking at me with the question. So if I sit here and go,
that's okay, Sir. Don't think of the dozens and dozens of people listening.
But see, that's just it. Is I'm not seeing them.
Yes,
and that's the and. That's different from me than when I'm at home, because when I'm acting at home, even when I'm on stage, I don't see them for some reason.
Lights are in your eyes if you're standing in the right spot.
Exactly.
Is that from the lighting designer point of view?
It is from the lighting designer point of view. I frequently tell people, if you can see what you're doing, we can't see you. So get in the light. If you're blind, you're good.
Now you see why I'm designing the lights the way I do.
Yeah. Hopefully Richard was listening to that.
Oh,
nice.
Richard, I hope you're listening.
I like how you call out one of your friends in Columbus. I support this. Keep doing this.
We'll call him out in July after we've been there.
It's just with Richard, he does a great job. But it's one of those things where it's like sometimes I'm having to motion him, come on closer to the middle of the stage.
How about your lovely daughter? What did she think?
Thank you. Oh.
What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was interesting. It was funny, too.
Ah, there you go.
So I thought it was good.
We'll take
you
that.
You did a very good job with that movie. Everyone did their parts good. I like Grandpa. Grandpa kept zoning out at him.
What was I talking about? Where was I?
I
was behind the tree.
I think Steph asked me at one point when she was seeing some of the footage together, she's like, what's wrong with Grandpa? Is he okay?
Does he have early onset Alzheimer's?
Yes,
that's
always early
onset. I like the fact that the two kids were trying to confuse him. At least one of them was.
Yeah. So he wanted to hear the other story.
And it was hilarious. All he wanted to hear was the time travel rescuing
dinosaurs.
Thing.
T-Rex.
The T-Rex.
I thought that was hilarious. He's like, behind the tree. What was I doing?
That was a super awesome Harryhausen effect, by the way, Mr. Yeend.
Oh, yes. He's been talking about, we've been talking about the idea of doing like a dinosaur movie.
Yes.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, we need to do a dinosaur movie.
Why, Chris, that would take 2 years to make. That's a lot of work.
I don't know. It's all to Norman to do.
Are you doing Caveman?
Caveman, maybe?
Do you need Ringo Starr?
Yes.
You know, you might be able to get him.
I think he lives within like 200 miles of where I do. So,
go find him for me.
I'll go check out all the malls.
Give him a stack of movies. Hi, you don't know me, but
you're gonna love this. California man arrested at Ringo Starr's house.
Hey, as long as they get mention of the movies, no press is bad press.
And be sure you say they're made in Arden Hills, Minnesota,
not
Woodbury.
So I got the same question for Peter.
Same question to Peter Flynn.
Oh, gosh. Could you repeat the question, please?
Did you find there was a nice balance between it being a kid-friendly film and an adult-friendly film?
Yeah, I thought it was right down the middle, right up there with the old Warner Brothers cartoons, at least the later ones. Excuse me. I'm very anxious to have my kids watch it and get their take on it,
because
I am a kid in my own head, but I probably lost touch with my inner child. But certainly it was good for the adults, or at least us younger thinking adults, and it seemed like the kids in the audience were just ate it up.
Very cool.
I gotta say, on that note, one of the things that, because I said, you know, I watched the audience as they're watching it, is that there were things, there were jokes and things I threw in there specifically aiming more toward the kids. And I was happy to see that there was a group of kids next to where we were sitting. You know, a lot of them were the cast, but they brought a lot of friends and stuff too. That they were laughing at the stuff that I was purposely putting in there for them. That some of the adults weren't quite laughing at quite so much. Particularly the King character.
Yes, yes.
He's supposed to be goofy for the kids.
Apparently I'm pot.
Yes.
Thanks.
That also brought back flashbacks of Mr. Rogers and the puppet king and his show.
Oh, yeah.
So, you just, that was deliberate, right?
King.
He's King Tuesday, isn't he?
Are we going to see more of the puppets in the future?
Rick Schwinden
from
Mr.
Zero's has just arrived at the bonfire.
They,
what's up?
The union is very
lax. Find a chair, make yourself at home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we still got some.
You can push them way past the required. They don't need any insurance on the puppets.
You don't need the teachers on the set.
You don't have to feed them at all. They are temperamental, though, I will say.
You can just throw them at people.
They might bite.
They do bite occasionally.
We just got joined by Mr. Rick Schwinden, owner and proprietor of Mr. Zero's. Go ahead.
Mr. Zero's.
In beautiful downtown.
Greetings and welcome to the show.
It has finally begun.
You wanted him back. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what we're going to do right now? Unfortunately, we're going to make you wait. Well, actually, for you, it's going to be instantaneous because you can just download part two. So why don't you go ahead, and if you haven't done it already, go ahead and download it. And we will hear, you'll hear back from us in part two.
That's very fast.
Download part two now.